Only two cetasikas are not sankhara khanda. When we talk about five khandas, there must be only nama and rupa. Because firstly, dhamma, everything is dhamma. And secondly, dhamma is anatta. All dhammas are anatta. This is theoretical understanding, only the level of studying. And in order to understand anattaness and nama and rupa, firstly is dhamma, secondly is nama and rupa, only two. And we can classify nama and rupa by way of five khandhas. This is because of his supreme understanding of all dhammas and rupa, that he can help us to understand nama and rupa in different ways. If this doesn't help this person, he would say about tattu, about element instead of khanda, or by ayatana, the meeting point for the arising of one moment of citta, when there is seeing or hearing. So it's just dhamma and nothing else besides nama and rupa, and it can be explained in many ways. For example, all kind of rupas, no matter in the past, future or present, cannot be nama at all. Rupa must be rupa. For example, visible object is visible object. Yesterday, today, or tomorrow, it is a reality that can appear through eye-based only. And sound is the same. All rupa cannot experience anything. This is the point that one should understand each word clearly. So by understanding this, one knows that the rupa here, hardness here, or anywhere in the body, cannot experience anything. Some might think that brain is citta. It can know, it can many things. But what is the characteristic of brain? When its visible object is seen, and we remember that it's brain, and when it's touched, it's soft or hard, and we take it, that softness or hardness, as just a brain. See, only memory about realities which arising and falling away in split seconds, they are all gone, but the memory of what is experienced is there all the time. By really understand the hardness here and the hardness there, exactly the same. Like it's said in Tipitaka about burning the grass in the Chetavana, and all the monks didn't feel anything at all because it's not their body which was burnt, see. So the rupa cannot experience, even it's burning. It's the citta which experiences the heat and feels the heat. Not the grass, not the table, or not the wood. So we can see this distinction, the absolute extinction of nama and rupa. Because there can be nama without rupa, and there can be rupa without nama. For example, when we talk about the grass over there, it's the rupa without nama. And in the Arupa Brahma plains, the Arupa Brahma, they do not have any rupa. Only nama, citta, and cetasika arise. And the nama rupa parichetayana experience this. The nama can never be the rupa, and the rupa can never be the nama. Different tattu, different elements. So he also taught us about elements, because when we think in terms of element, we do not take any element from me at all. So Buddha taught us about the Paramattha Dhammas by way of element too. So rupa is the rupa khanda, the first khanda is rupa khanda, and the feeling cetasika, the vedana, is one khanda, and this sanya cetasika, memory, is another one khanda, and the 50 cetasikas are sankhara khanda. That's why no matter we're talking about sati or panya or metta or anything else, they are all Rakanda, which means that nobody can condition anything, but these are conditions. These jetasikas condition later citta and jetasika by accumulation. And all jitas are vinyana khanda, because citta is quite different from jetasika. The two arise together. Nobody can tell the distinction between the two, but Buddha could explain. Like nobody can tell whether it's salt or water when it's blended, but he could tell. And this is just rupa, but that is nama. They arise together, they fall away together, experience the same object. See? So by studying little by little, even not many words, but by considering and understanding, one can come closer to nama and rupa with considering, and that can be the conditions for awareness to arise, but no expectation at all. But it's always come by conditions. That's why when we study khanda, we know exactly what khanda is. What khanda is there? Rupa khanda is not all the four nama khandas. And by studying about the arising of citta and cetasika, one knows that they arise together. So there must be all four nama khandas, not only three nama khandas arising, or two, or one. All four must arise together. So we can understand Dhamma and Nama Dhamma and Rupa Dhamma and Khanda and keep on studying, considering, but not just reading or not just collecting the word or the number.
Ajahn, talking about these jetasikas that the Buddha saw and could explain to us, but we don't experience, like Viriya, Passa, Jetana, etc. There's a lot of mention in the sutta of these realities, and a lot of people, I think, misunderstand these references, because we'll take Viriya, for example, as we've discussed before. People think that when the Buddha talks about developing Viriya that accompanies Kusala Jitta, it means that one must make an effort in the conventional sense to have more kusala. And when they read about the four kinds of viriya, of course they think that it means we must have effort to have to make effort to have more kusala and make effort to have lesser kusala and so forth. So I'm just wondering, can we say there's a lot about these realities that we don't know, but there's not so much about, you know, for the beginning level of developing satipatthana.
So now please make effort. Who can?
Well, we can think we can.
Yeah. So it's only our thinking about the teachings, but not the understanding. Whatever one reads, one thinks that, oh, I can do because Buddha urged us to do.
Right.
But not at all. When one has the understanding of Paramattha Dhamma, one can read Tipitaka and Vinaya with more and more understanding about one's own accumulation too. And there is no idea for making effort or try to have more effort, because when we study Abhidhamma, effort arises with almost every citta except the 16 Ahetuka citta. So even sitting and seeing or thinking and have lopa now, actually, yeah. Do we have any effort?
Yes.
Who knows?
Well, who knows?
The viriya jetasika arises by conditions. It seems like we do not make any effort, just sitting and listening. But actually, it's there. So who can make effort? Make it. So we can see how much that person understands the teachings. If he said that, oh, I'm making effort, it's me. Effort arises, and who can make it, like seeing now, who can make seeing, who can make hearing, even who can make sound, All realities are Paramadhamma. Nobody can control the absolute realities.
So the effort is really what has already happened.
Right.
And it's just the characteristic of that moment mm-hmm. is being described. It's not something that we are going to, or I am going to do in the next moment.
Thinking.
Exactly.
Yeah. And at that moment, there is effort which thinks that way. Yeah. Before you think that I will, it's there. That's why it's not difficult to urge people to do something wrong. But it's very difficult to help them to have right understanding about realities as Paramadhamma, absolute realities. Because people have lopa to do something all the time and would like to do, so we can help them to do something which is wrong, not right. But in order to help them to understand and develop more understanding of the anatta-ness of realities, it depends on the individual's accumulation. Even Buddha himself couldn't help everyone to attain Nibbana or to have more understanding, like those six teachers in his days, who had wrong views.
It seems that we are now listening and understanding everything you said and seem to be really clear. But the minute we walked out from this room, it's gone. Yes, and so one should listen, like go back to listen to the tape more and consider it more. And is there anything else, Anachan?
It's lifetime learning.
Lifetime learning. Thank
just
you.
One life.
Lifetimes. Because you often say when we read and listen and consider, it is accumulated like sankhara kanda. It's a term which is maybe difficult, but it is sati and panya, the cetasikas, which are sankhara kanda. But also all the moments of thinking in the right way on Paramatta Dhammas, they all together are accumulated and help so that there is sati and more clear understanding. Is that right?
All the teachings of the Buddha leads us to detachment. All words, not to having more attachment. This is a very important key too. Of wanting or clinging or being attached is wrong. It's not the right path. Because it moves once away from the studying of reality at this present moment.
In the discussion yesterday and, well, throughout this trip, you've mentioned often about knowing the character, getting to know by direct experience the characteristic of nama and how it differs from the characteristic of rupa. And we also hear about knowing, for example, seeing as different from visible objects and hearing as different from sound. Other things like that, which are specific instances of nama experiencing rupa. And I'm just wondering if these are the same thing or whether they are different, I mean, different levels of the same thing. That is to say, knowing at the moment of seeing the characteristic of the reality that sees, for example, which is a nama, and the understanding that knows the characteristic of nama as nama, are they different? Are they one and the same thing, or I mean, but different levels, or am I
same thing?
Same thing.
Because we think about nama for example, seeing is nama. But what is the characteristic of nama, which sees? We know that, that there must be nama for sure. It performs its function from birth to death. But whatever appears is only the objects of nama or citta. For example, right now, visible object appears. No thinking or considering about the reality or the mental element which arises and sees. There are two kinds of elements, the nama elements and the rupa elements. The rupa cannot experience anything, but the nama element is quite different from the rupa element. Because when we use the term element, we usually think about rupa only. But the opposite characteristic of rupa is the nama, an element which can experience, while the rupa is the element which cannot experience anything. So now the nama element does not belong to anyone. No matter seeing arises on the heaven, in heaven, hells, down, deep in the sea, seeing is seeing. Element. It's an element exactly the same. When we don't think about the shape and form or rupa at all, forget about the rupa. The seeing element can arise anywhere, anytime. It needs only the eye base to condition its arising, not other part of the body. So when it's the moment of understanding one rupa, one characteristic at a time, it means that only that reality, for example, sound. There is no eyes, ears, nose, tongue. No eyes, nose, tongue, and other part of the body, lung, bones. Only that earpiece, which is conditioned by kamma, not by anyone else, not by citta, not by uttu, not by ahara, but by kamma. That's why some is deaf, cannot hear, because there is no rupa which kamma condition. At that very moment, no body. So it eliminates the idea of the self, because there is nothing else, just sound and the hearing which hears the sound. No one at all. Nowhere either. Because if there is the idea of somewhere, it's thinking of some place. There is the memory of place and people, or me, the whole body, here. But when it's the understanding or the development of understanding of sound, it's just sound. That's why some people think that when one wants to experience the seeing, one should concentrate at the middle of the eyes. But that is not right, because that's the idea of self again, who's there, who tries to concentrate so that that person can experience the eye best. But it's the matter of developing right understanding, not trying to do anything or expecting to have understanding of anything when it does not appear. So now when sound is appearing and citta experiences it, only two things. No one in this room. And this can be directly experienced with the development of right understanding little by little when it's right path.
Just then you said in the beginning, what is the characteristic of the nama that sees? And one answer to that could be the experience as visible object. And in that, but when we talk about knowing nama as nama, we're talking about a characteristic that is common to all namas. So hearing, for example, experiences sound, and that's one characteristic of the citta that hears. But I understand you to be saying that what we need to know about that nama is not that it experiences sound, but that it experiences, that has that in common with the citta that sees also.
That it is a reality which can experience an object. Mm. That is the explanation for nama. Mm. the reality which can experience an object, or the reality which now experiences
right.
the object.
Right. So is there any kind of stages then, in the sense that one knows, knowing that seeing experiences visible object is one stage, and then knowing that it is a nama that experiences as another
seeing
stage?
Seeing is nama itself. Seeing is nama itself. But before studying about Abhidhamma, one knows about seeing and hearing, because there is seeing and there is visible object which is seen, but it's I who sees. In order to eradicate the idea of self, which takes the seeing for I, there should be more understanding about seeing by considering in the beginning, which can condition the right awareness later. Even right now, there can be right awareness. It's very natural. Awareness is natural. It's not like concentration. Because concentration is like focusing, doing something. At the moment of focusing, it's like I'm trying to focus on something. But the right awareness is very natural. It just follows the moment of experiencing an object by studying or beginning to understand or gradually understand, instead of just thinking in words. Without word, there can be right awareness of a reality, very natural, and it falls away. No expectation for other moment either.
Go back to Jonathan's question about nama and seeing. I understand that you think without characteristics, or in general, and seeing a special characteristic. I was wondering about it. Nama and rupa, to know nama as the reality which knows, but not bother about any, whether it's seeing or hearing.
I'm just trying to ascertain whether there is a distinction, I suppose, between the two, because it seems to me you can talk about understanding or being aware of seeing as the reality that knows visible object, or that appears through the eye sense, or something like that. In other words, it's a nama, but it has characteristics peculiar to that particular doorway, as well as having the general characteristic of being a nama. But I think it's clear from what Ajahn Suchin says that what needs to be known is the general characteristic of being a nama, rather than the particular characteristic that pertains to that object or doorway. But they're probably not separable anyway.
We know that citta is different from cetasikas, right? By theory. But by experience, citta has its characteristic which is different from cetasika. That's why we can say that they are altogether not only 52 but 53 nama, including citta. But the characteristic of citta is only experiencing an object, while passa, contact, or vedana, feel, or sanya, remembers. Each cetasika has its own characteristic, so each citta has the same characteristic, experiencing an object. But there are many citta, not just one citta. The citta which it's pavanga, not the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, or thinking. So by understanding the characteristic of citta, which is different from cetasika, it shows that that is the developed panya.
So that would be a later stage.
To really see the difference between citta and cetasika.
Because they are both nama, so right. There's the general characteristic right. That's known first.
When we start to study Abhidhamma, we start from Dhamma and then nama and rupa. When it's the moment of experiencing or developing right understanding, it's exactly the same. Starting from now, everything is dhamma. And the characteristic of nama is different from rupa in the beginning. Nama, rupa, parichetayana.
But the characteristic of seeing is different from the characteristic of hearing.
That's why he showed us about the seven vijnana dhatu again. More details. But even it experiences. But the dhatu, the element, must be different because this kind of element needs the cakkhupasatha, the eye base, and the visual object to condition the moment of just seeing. No more, just seeing. And the moment of hearing, it needs the ear base and the sound to condition just a moment of hearing, that's all. So they come from different sources or conditions. That's why they cannot be the same. Even they are nama. Citta is different from cetasika, and even so, the seeing is different from hearing.
This must be a more advanced level.
That's why when we study, that's why when we study, we should consider and develop deeper understanding. Don't think that we know, because that is only theoretical knowledge. But that can be known when there is more development, awareness, and understanding.
To really know the very clear, the difference of nama and rupa, this is quite a high level of panya, right, Anachan? It's not like
Vipassanayana.
So for all of us here,
but the first Vipassanayana, nama, rupa, parichetayana only.
So what we all here listening today, or we're just like starting to know the story of the Dhamma and to slowly, gradually understand the characteristic of the nama and rupa.
So we know what panya knows, and we know that how can panya know? Otherwise we'll go the wrong path.
Yes. Thank you.
There is no understanding of reality at this moment. Can we say that it is panya? We may call it panya, but it's not panya at all.
So it's not a panya of even like very low level, no.
What do you mean low level? At moment of understanding, it's panya, intellectual panya.
Oh, okay. Go.
You just said that we start with everything is Dhamma, and then nama and rupa. But the first one, everything is Dhamma, I don't know whether it is separate or different from knowing the nama and the rupa. Perhaps you mean when you know the difference between nama and rupa?
We know that there are degrees of understanding. When one says that everything is dhamma, that is intellectual, panya. And later on, it will be another level. When there is awareness and begin to know the characteristic of nama and rupa, more and more until everything is dhamma, not just by word or intellectually. That's why the teachings must conform with the Vinaya Suttanta and Abhidhamma, or all levels. For example, when one says that everything is dhamma, it doesn't mean that, okay, it's all right, everything is dhamma, that's enough, not enough. But later, when panya develop, you know more deeply, and you are more sure when you say that everything is Dhamma by your own experience.
It's not a certain order that there is first